The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, we've heard so much about so-called ghost buses in the last week. That is, buses appearing on digital display boards and then disappearing without showing up. Go Ahead Ireland, one of the bus operators in Dublin, has said that a mechanic shortage and the rollout of the new Bus Connects routes have contributed to their problem. But Dublin Bus say that on their side, reliability has improved dramatically. So with us now is Billy Hand, CEO of Dublin Bus. Billy, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you may, quote stats all you like, but people will say, my experience is I saw the digital display, it told me the bus was coming, it never came.
Pat, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be whiter than white when it comes to ghost buses. The reality is every bus operator will have in the past had issues with ghost buses, or in the future may have issues with it. But the reality is certainly the issues that we've experienced over the last 2 to 3 weeks are not on routes that are operated by Dublin Bus. They're on routes which are operated by private operators. We've put a lot of work and a lot of effort in over the last 2 years or so to address the issues around ghost buses. And to go back to the statistics you mentioned earlier, the reliability of our bus service is over 98% at the moment, which is excellent and is up there at the best in Europe. The accuracy of our real-time passenger information, which can be a contributor to the issues around ghost bus, is close to 99% and benchmarked with the best in the world at the moment. So we put a lot of time, a lot of effort, recruited a lot of resources, done a lot of technical enhancements to the systems to improve the reliability
now,
of that service.
When you look at the fines, if you like, or the income withheld by the National Transport Authority last year, 4 million for Dublin Bus, 761,000 for Go Ahead, which would seem to suggest that you're bigger offenders than Go Ahead if you look at it just baldly on those figures. But
those figures are 2023, for starters. The 2024 figures haven't been agreed with the NTA at this moment in time. We expect our figures to be more positive with regards to the figures in 2023. And since November of this year, the trajectory of the improvement in our reliability and penalties is exceptional and will compete with the best of them out there.
The reason I talk about statistics, lies, damn lies and statistics, what proportion of the routes are operated by Go Ahead and what proportion of the routes are operated by you? Because you'd expect proportionality, therefore, in offences.
No, absolutely. And we would have 80 to 85% of the network and the rest would be operated by Go Ahead Ireland.
So you operate four times more?
Correct.
Okay, so it's almost euro for euro if you take that proportionality into account. You offended in 2023 in approximately the same manner.
Very, very similar. And the statistics are there to be seen by the National Transport Authority. They publish their performance reports on an annual basis. And the performance report for 2023 is available for everyone to see there. But as I said, we put a lot of effort in, a lot of hard work from the management and all the teams in Dublin Bus to address the ghost bus issues in 2023 and 24. And we're now starting to see a positive impact on that serviceability to our customers.
Can you isolate what the problems were that you had to address?
Yeah, I suppose the two main ones for me were pretty much lack of staff or not having enough staff to provide the service. So when I came in as CEO 2 years ago, you know, we had a significant shortage of staff and we were working in...
Are you talking about drivers particularly or mechanics or...
Mostly drivers at that stage. So in the last 2 years, we've recruited close to 1,000 drivers and we've also recruited just over 50 mechanics. So whilst we start to address the driver issue, mechanics did become a problem. It's very, very hard to get tradespeople, particularly mechanics in this country. We've had to go to the Philippines and bring in over 40 mechanics from the Philippines. We've also boosted our apprentice scheme. We have over 70 people in our apprentice scheme in Dublin Bus at the moment who will qualify as mechanics in due course.
Okay, to what extent is the fleet going electric?
We've about 10% of the fleet electrified at the moment. You know, the objective...
Because that requires even different skills, doesn't it, to service those kind of buses?
It does. It requires different skills from a mechanics point of view to service those buses. And we have to reskill and retrain our mechanics to be able to maintain those maintain that fleet of electric buses.
Now, talk to me. You had a staff problem and you have attempted to address that problem with 1,000 more drivers. How many drivers do you have in total?
We have about 3,500 drivers.
Okay,
in total,
so that was a
Dublin
very
bus.
Significant increase.
It was a significant increase.
How much of that is absorbed by Bus Connects, the changes that had to be brought about?
Just to give you an example on Bus Connects, so Phase 6A was introduced on the 26th of January. That required an extra 100 drivers for us. So really when we look at introducing new phases of Bus Connects in consultation with the NTA, we don't do it until we've had enough drivers in place or enough mechanics in place to support the core network and to support the expansion.
Can you explain to me, I mean, I understand the way Bus Connects work. It's kind of almost like trying to run it like a metro system or an underground system. You have key lines that go from A to B, and there's loads and loads of buses on those key lines. And then they are fed either by pedestrian traffic who walk up to bus stops in their locality, or local buses which feed into these major corridors. Where does the extra manpower demand come from?
It's basically through the increase in frequency of our services. So if we take again Phase 6A, which went in on the 26th of January, the E1 and E2 are new services from basically north of Bray all the way up to Santry, and from Dunleary to North Dublin and Harristown as well. The frequency of those services at the peak times are 7 to 10 minutes. So you have buses when you go past on nearly every 4 minutes. So that requires extra fleet, extra mechanics to service the extra fleet, and extra drivers to provide that service. So that's where the extra drivers are required. It's basically additional service being provided to our customers.
Now, the Bus Connect's idea is, as I say, these corridors, but they seem to be very long corridors. Now, you know, because I would have remembered, you know, the number 10 bus and its original route, which finished at the Phoenix Park. That then, the number 46A went all the way to the Phoenix Park. And now this new E5, I think, goes all the way to Harristown from Dunleary. I mean, it's a hell of a long way. Is that an efficient way to deploy? Are you stuck with Bus Connects because it's there? I wonder if it's the most efficient way to do things rather than turn people around somewhere in the centre of the city and go back out again.
Yeah, I suppose the National Transport Authority were responsible for designing the Bus Connects network, and they've done that in consultation with many stakeholders, including Dublin Bus. And we would believe and be a big supporter of it because, we, in simple terms, we're providing more services to more customers, so connecting more people to more places. Whether it's the most efficient way remains to be seen. But what I will say is every time we put a route in from a Bus Connects perspective, it's reviewed and looked at, examined. And if it needs to be tweaked, it's tweaked to make sure that we get the efficiency.
What are the early indications from the Bus Connects routes? I mean, are they very, very busy given the increased frequency at peak time?
Yeah, and they are very busy. And at times, you would even argue we may need more capacity on some of them. So we're constantly looking at the spines which we've already put in to examine whether that's the case. It's too early to tell on the E1 and the E2 because it's only in 2 to 3 weeks at this stage. So time will tell whether we actually need more capacity or less capacity on that, for that matter, as well. If we feel we have too much capacity in there, then in consultation with the NTA, we would look at reducing the capacity on those routes.
Now, do we know how well served, say, little suburbs are that used to have their own bus that rambled its way into the centre of the city and perhaps beyond, but now they have to make their way somehow to these spines? Do we know, have you had a lot of feedback from people saying, where's my bus?
You'll always get a little bit of negative feedback at a change. When we're changing routes or bringing in a new spine or a new local area network, you'll always get some complaints because some people are not getting the service that they feel that they once had. But by and large, it's still producing 25% extra connectivity to the greater Dublin area. And you have to look at the whole picture rather than just sort of the small micro level in every single community.
But then, of course, there, my micro problem is my problem, and it's a big one for me, maybe, even though globally the service is working better.
Absolutely. And I'd sympathise with anyone whose network is changing. And look, it's all about communication and talking. And there was, as I said, a full consultation process before Bus Connects was launched, where the NTA did go to the communities, talk to them, listen to them, made tweaks and changes. It's a very different network than what was originally proposed. But of course, you still will have pockets of communities which feel a little bit upset because their routes are changing.
Now, when you've got these Bus Connects routes, it doesn't really matter, surely, that the digital display might be wrong, because there's going to be one in 5 minutes anyway.
In an ideal scenario, we would have high frequency across our whole network. And then you're right, it doesn't really matter if you turn up and you miss your bus or if the display
is... Because there's one coming.
Because you know there's another one coming in 4 minutes or 7 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever that happens to be. But we still haven't got high frequency across all our network. We only have it across about maybe 15% of our network. So we've a long way to go before the RTBI becomes insignificant.
Now, why was that display, be it on an app or be it on a bus stop, so disappointingly inaccurate for many people?
Yeah, I suppose there's a couple of things that sort of can drive the inaccuracy of the RTBI. The buses are being tracked, for starters, and there's a system in the background which is tracking that. So the bus, there's a network of sensors around
the city. You guys know exactly where every bus is.
We do. We do. And so does the system know where they are.
But so does the TFI system know where everything...
The TFI system does know. But if the antenna system or the system on the bus itself, Pat, breaks down, then we don't know where it is. And the system's trying to predict where it is and doesn't always get it right. So there are quirks within the system. It's a 15-year-old system, to be honest.
Yeah, because people are saying, if you know where the bus is and then it never shows, Where is it now? That's why they're called ghost buses, because it was there in theory. But the truth is that it may not have been there because the system is kind of using AI, old-fashioned 15-year-old AI, to guess where the bus is.
No, absolutely. And the reality is there's two versions of it. You know, you can be standing at your bus stop waiting for the bus, and then you don't think it's going to come, and suddenly it comes. In that particular instant, the technology hasn't worked very well, but the bus is running. But then you can have an instant where the bus, for whatever reason, has been diverted from your bus stop. It could be a bus driver's had to go sick. It could be that he's being diverted because of an accident. It could have been a protest on the road, and we have to divert the service as a result of that. Mm. If we don't cancel that in time on the system, then unfortunately, as a user waiting at the bus stop, it shows up as if it's turning up.
And of course, people will not report to you when two of them turn up at the same time, because an accident has compressed two buses on the same route into literally moments apart.
That can happen, but our experience of customers is they're very willing to report and complain, particularly over social media channels, particularly over our Twitter channels and so on. So we do get very, very good feedback from our customers, which we act on. If they file a formal complaint, then we will get back to them in X amount of days and address their issues.
Yeah, I've got a number of comments I'll bring you, but before we go to those, the TFI system you mentioned is 15 years old, and I mean, you wouldn't use a 15-year-old phone. You'd have discarded it. So when will the new system be in place?
The tracking system is 15-year-old. The app itself, which we're using, is only new. That was introduced by the NTA approximately 2 years ago. But the back-end system, which is doing all the tracking, the NTA have just recently signed a contract with a manufacturer to replace that system over the next 2 to 3 years.
Does that mean every bus has to get a new transponder?
Every single bus will have to be refitted with new cabling, new transponders, a new back-end system across all operators. So there's a hell of a lot of complex works need to be completed on it.
I'll read some of the texts. With all the talk of ghost buses, can they not figure out paying with your debit card or credit card on the bus? It's a joke in this day and age. You know, people might have a Leap card, but the idea of just using your phone, which is fairly standard in many public transport systems.
I would agree with that sentiment. As a bus user myself, you know, I get frustrated that I can't just use my phone as I can on the continent or in other countries when I want to use it. Again, the NTA have another contract signed off with another manufacturer to introduce the ability to be able to use that type of payment over the next 2 to 3 years.
Because we shouldn't have to reinvent the wheel. These systems exist.
They absolutely exist, and the contract would have been given to a manufacturer who has experience of implementing those systems.
Drove up Parnell Square West recently. There must have been 200 people waiting at various bus stops. Obviously, no buses had arrived for a considerable time. Same at the two stops beside the Cat and Cage pub in Drumcondra. 50 plus passengers waiting. I mean, I know you can't comment on individual, but it's just to give you a flavour of what people are experiencing. I live near Phoenix Park. Since Bus Connects replaced the 46A, it's another disaster. A modern fleet replaced with old diesel buses chugging along. This is the 11 bus, I think they're saying. Instead of every 7 minutes in the morning, we're waiting 20 minutes. It's a disaster. Can't even charge my phone because the buses are so old.
Yeah, I wouldn't fully agree with that. From time to time, due to, you know, fleet issues, we may have to have an old diesel vehicle in there. But by and large, you know, 20% of our fleet is hybrid, 10% of our fleet is electric. The vast majority of our diesel buses are new, relatively new. They're, you know, within a 10-year sort of age. So, but from time to time, we do need to reintroduce older buses into the fleet because of issues we may be having with the existing.
Do you have autonomy to buy your own buses, or does it all come from TFI now?
It all comes from the National Transport Authority. We don't buy our own buses anymore. They buy and we basically sublease from them.
I regularly use the 15 bus in Rathfarnham, which is operated by Dublin Bus. In the past 3 days, on 4 occasions, a bus did not appear at my bus stop. I was there in good time. The bus was scheduled and did not appear, and this happened twice, and it's been going on for the past year. I'm a regular user, and as I said, the last week 30% of the buses I go for do not turn up. Yet some can be traffic related, but some are just bad information, which is incredible in this day and age. That's from Brian. Phase 6A, absolute disaster for the Glasnevin area. Went from 5 buses down to 3, with orbitals connecting buses only every 30 minutes. No consultation in our area at all. Increased my journey time by 25 to 35 minutes. That's from Una.
Yeah, and look, again, you know, the consultation was done some years ago by the National Transport Authority, who did listen to the communities. There was a lot of communication. There was a lot of people out on the streets communicating, pushing out leaflets to the various different communities that were affected. So look, I can't comment on any individual case, as you said earlier. We'd be happy offline to take any sort of information that we have from any customer to address their complaints and issues and see, you know, what the issue was and the problem.
The final thing is obviously for all of this to work for buses, to get priority and so on along the bus corridors, it seems to be still a problem that sometimes, and I see it myself coming in the mornings, that there might be a delivery van delivering something to a shop, just blocking the bus lane.
Yeah, I suppose there's two aspects to that, Pat, for me. We need to get the priority bus corridors in that are actually, you know, part of the Bus Connects programme in place as soon as possible. 12 of them have been in with the planning authorities. They are now all sanctioned. However, we need to get on and build them and put them in place. When it comes to the existing corridors that are there and the bus lanes, we need to start enforcing, you know, the bus lane rules and ensure that motorists who infringe into those areas are fined and dealt with. Because if you're sitting in a bus, and I challenge any of your listeners to do this, look out the window if you're in a bus lane, and I'd say within 100 metres either way, you'll count 10 cars. And that's really a difficulty for us trying to run.
Delivery people will throw their hands up in the air and say, what am I to do? Shop is there, they need their milk, they need their bread. What am I to do?
Yeah, I absolutely get that. But there's hours of delivery which you can have which are not going to impact on the bus service. So
and that brings me to my final question about 24-hour buses. How far are we along that line?
Yeah, we have about 12 24-hour bus routes at the moment. Bus connects further phases of that. We've launched about 6 phases of 11, another 5 phases to come in, which will introduce another 5 24-hour routes. Dublin Bus are the only 24-hour bus operator in the country at the moment on the public service obligation contracts. So, you know, we would be encouraging everyone to get involved in 24 hours to even expand that further.
Billy Hahn, thank you very much for joining us. Billy Hahn is CEO of Dublin Bus, and the message is that the ghost bus will be a thing of the past in the not too distant future.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.